Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is Puka Nacua, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Roster Watch. This is the Roster Watch Dynasty Show. He is the Trash Man, and I am Cody Carpentier. The Dynasty rankings have been updated numerous times over at rosterwatch.com. You can go check them out over on rosterwatch.com. You can get a pro or premium membership. There's a lot of stuff going up over there as we're working through rookie wide receivers right now as we prepare for the Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl. Trash Man, I think we're about 9 to 10 days away from being in Frisco. It's starting to hook up really quickly. There's only one game left in the college format. So draft cycle has begun. Writing up has begun. And we're going to talk all things receivers here. How are you doing today, Trash Man?
Doing all right. Is it 9 to 10 days? I thought isn't this weekend?
Next weekend. Okay. If it was this weekend, I'd be a little more nervous. I got too many guys that I still need to look at before we get there. But we're not talking about rookies today. If you want to hear rookies, you can go look in the channel. There's a couple of videos up about rookies, and then you can also go over to rosterwatch.com. I think there's close to a dozen write-ups on the site already, from Tez Johnson to Savion Williams to Trey Harris. There's a lot of guys up there. But today we're going to be talking about the top 12 wide receivers in Dynasty, because we just went through and updated all the Dynasty rankings to top 250. You can go find it, like I said. But I think the most important part in – maybe not the most important, but one of the most important parts in Dynasty, and especially in rankings, is at least getting that top 12 right. Because if you are out of pocket in that top 12, it kind of can just throw the rest of the thing haywire if you haven't adjusted for certain things. Like, I know personally I had to adjust for Roma Dunze. I brought him down a little bit. AJ Brown got a little bit.
Baker's dozen.
Baker's. You want to talk about 13 guys? Okay, we talk about the, we can give the good people an extra player, and I have a feeling that I kind of look.
13's a lucky number.
Without counting, I think I know who that 13th player is. But we're going to talk about it today. We're pretty consensus for a few of these spots and the order at which they're laid out. But we do have a little bit of conversation to be had, and I'm going to be interested to see. Let's start at the top. First and foremost, Ja'Marr Chase, 25 years old. He is the wide receiver one right now overall for us at Roster Watch. I think I adjusted. I think I had CeeDee Lamb.
You did.
Number one. Have you been Ja'Marr Chase this entire time?
Yes.
So, four straight 1,000-yard seasons. He obviously had his career high, 1,700, 127 receptions, 17 touchdowns, and won the Triple Crown this year. He's the unequivocal number one. He's the youngest of these three guys, Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, who we are consensus. Two for Jefferson and three for Lamb. Trash Man, T. Higgins is a free agent, right? T. Higgins, he's down here. He's got the green label. He's a free agent this upcoming, 2 months from now. I personally don't really quite expect him to be back. I expect like the Patriots or the Panthers or something to offer him some gargantuan cash.
You hate him. You hate him.
I hate him. I mean, do I really hate him? I mean, I've always looked at him as like a beta alpha. Like, I think he's a guy that can get the job done, but I've never looked at him as an alpha.
Really?
I
think if he was on another team, he'd be a number one for sure.
But like, to what extent? This is the point. Like, to what extent? Like, do you think he can truthfully –
You have like Ladd McConkey in front of him. I think he's better than Ladd McConkey. I think he's arguably better than Drake London. A lot of these guys, I think T. Higgins would be better than
as a standalone in his own offense.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, he's operated pretty, I mean, close to like a 1B receiver, you know, as the number two to arguably the best receiver in the NFL on the same offense. And he still performs better than, you know, 90% of guys.
You do know in his first year in the league, Ladd McConkey has more receptions than T. Higgins has had in any of his five seasons, more receiving yards.
That's what I'm saying. Look at the other receivers on the team. Like if T. Higgins was in Ladd McConkey's.
The overall offensive output, though, is like it doesn't compare.
He would have those receptions and he'd have five more touchdowns.
I don't know if I'm there.
No,
I don't know if I'm there. I mean, literally, you look at that the Chargers offense that had 504 pass attempts last year. You look at Joe Burrow had 652. Like, there's an extra 150 pass attempts in that offense.
I'm just saying, like, I think T. Higgins is a better talent than Ladd McConkey. I think he's a better red zone option than Ladd McConkey. So I'm saying, like, if he was in the same position as Ladd McConkey, I think he would outperform him.
I can agree with you on the red zone part. As far as better overall,
I'll be honest. I didn't like the Chargers are one of those, you know, those AFC West teams, those late boring afternoon CBS games. I'm not paying as much attention to, and just like looking at the rest of that offense and the receiving core, which is, I mean, Quentin Johnson is kind of trash, but, yeah, there's really nobody else. I mean, I just give T. Higgins the benefit of the doubt. You know,
That's fair. So those are the top three: Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. Next in line is Malik Nabers. We've both have this adjustment made where he's the next in that group. Malik Nabers in 2025 will turn 22 years old. Of course, I mean, the big conversation a year ago right now was who will the wide receiver one be in the rookie class of 2024. And infamously or famously, we literally went out and were ahead of a lot of people as far as pretty much, I think all three of us had yourself, Alex, and I each had Nabers as wide receiver one in that class. And he, of course, has vaulted kind of up to that position, being in a putrid offense and being targeted nearly 7,000 times. He got there. I mean, he didn't quite do the Allen Robinson thing that I was kind of expecting, but he did have 109 receptions, which ended up breaking the record, but then not quite getting there because Brock Bowers rebroke it. He had 1,200 yards and seven touchdowns. We assume the quarterback situation is going to get better, whether they draft a Shador, draft a Cam Ward, if they draft Milroad, I'm not sure how much better that gets for him. Trade for somebody, sign a Darnold. I don't know what's going to happen, but we assume that quarterback situation is going to be better. So how close are you to actually putting like a Nabers potentially over or into this? Is there a tier difference here for you? Is there a tier break? That should be the question.
Well, just like, it, as far as offenses go, yes. Then the way the offenses operate, I mean, the Giants just don't operate on par to those receivers above him. Yeah. I mean, and Justin Jefferson, we've seen, is able to reduce regardless of who's under center. I don't know if Darnold goes to the Giants if he fares as well. I don't think the offensive line is as good there in New York. And after that meltdown that we saw in the playoff game, it may be back to the old Darnold. He may, you know, turn back into a pumpkin. But yeah, I think just the offense just isn't as good for the Giants. And so, yeah, I think that makes him a tier on it. But we do have to account for his age. He's at least 4 years younger than any of the guys in front of him. We have to consider that.
I think that's big. I personally have him in that tier. I have a four person tier with Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, and Nabers. And Nabers is strictly because I think he has that alpha dynamism that like we saw out of a Chase. We're kind of weighing in that we think the quarterback position has to get better. If it gets worse, or they roll Drew Lock out there hypothetically, or it's like, you know, I don't even know who I'd have to say in this draft class that could keep the, I mean, if it's like Quinn or something, like I'm going to be like, yeah, I might have to drop him a little bit. But
how much worse can it get? He's had some pretty terrible quarterbacks in New York.
The thing is, like with Lock, dude, I would honestly, for fantasy football perspective, our point of view, I kind of want one. Like, I would love to have Locke.
Just, I think that's fine. I was going to say, if Locke stays, then like, I don't think it's a knock on Neighbors and his production in 2025.
It would be interesting to see if they rolled with Locke. Dan, I see your question in the chat. We'll get to that question in a minute here. Please click.
You got a Longhorn shirt on? What's going on, Cody?
It's right here.
Wow.
We got it. We're in the building.
Brought you over to the team, huh?
The dark side. I'm on the dark side.
I need to see if I even have a Longhorn shirt. I put all my merch away years ago whenever the Longhorns were terrible. After 2005, they've been gathering dust somewhere. I need to pull them out.
Honestly, I stopped at the last time I was in Austin. I went to Academy Outdoor, no free shout out, but I went to Academy Outdoor and I saw this one. It's like an off white and it's got kind of a cool design on the back.
Yeah.
Can't really see it, but it's kind of a cool design on the back. And I was like, all right, I'll get one. I literally got two Texas shirts. I got this and like a long sleeve, but
take it up to the bandwagon.
Not too much there, but yes, click the like button, click subscribe. We appreciate you for tapping in over at rosterwatch.com. Go check it out. Everything over at rosterwatch.com. We still do got the prop picks going up every single week for the divisional round here this upcoming weekend. We're at 62% after Trashman's undefeated weekend in the prop market. Tier two for me begins with Jackson Smith and Jigba. That's my wide receiver five. For us as a consensus, he's there. But you have Amon-Ra St. Brown a notch ahead of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be 23 this year. Amon-Ra is 26. We finally saw Smith and Jigba kind of break through. It's been kind of like a wait-and-see thing. We saw it in a flash last year. I think he had like one game, and then this year he came through with 100 receptions, 1,130 yards, and 6 touchdowns. He now has 1,700 career yards, 10 career touchdowns. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think we talked about this 2 years ago, was like the comp that felt right for Jackson Smith and Jigba. But now they're obviously side by side in the dynasty rankings. You have them back to back. What's the push for Amon-Ra over Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Better offense. We've seen him produce at an elite level with other elite receivers on the team. I mean, I feel like I don't think the other shoe has to drop with DK Metcalf. There in Seattle. I just don't see him fading to the background in that offense. It's just a few little things, but I feel like Amon-Ra St. Brown is in a better position there in Detroit. And I think he's still got a number of great years left in him.
He's got, 3 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, but he's got 4 consecutive. Every year in the league he's played, he's had over 900. And you remember that rookie season, he only started 9 games. He didn't really break out until, I think it was like Thanksgiving was when he started to really get on a roll. So he would have had 1,000 yards that year had they pulled their heads out of their behinds and used him much earlier. Ben Johnson departs in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whenever the Super Bowl's over. Does that shift Amon-Ra potentially down a little bit just because the offense, we assume, changes a little bit or no?
Maybe. I mean, he's a piece that they're going to continue to use. Until I see it,
yeah.
I'm leaving him where he is.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
I respect that. Next in line is Puka Nacua here's the thing that I think really needs to be brought to the forefront is Puka Nacua is obviously goated. He almost had 1,000 yards this year, 990 after a 1,400 yard rookie season, setting the record for receptions with 105. But I think that we're bearing the lead here just talking about Puka Nacua, in that Cooper Kupp feels like he didn't do a damn thing this year. He started the year off with a 21 target, 14 reception game. In week 4, he had 14 targets, 11 receptions. And then for the rest of the season, it just went straight downhill trend. 7, 6, 8, 3 reception, 5 reception, 0, 3, 1, and 1. He's had 1 reception each of the last 2 games. The Cooper Kupp thing has just took a nosedive into the ground, and Puka Nacua is the new Cooper Kupp? Is that kind of where we're at?
Yeah, I think – well, the thing is, and what it might have always been is it's like Stafford tends to fixate on receivers. And for a while, it was Cooper Kupp. Now it seems to be Puka Nacua. And I think – I mean, Puka Nacua – well, and the thing about Cooper Kupp is he was never – an amazing athlete. He was, you know, he relied on skill, and just, you know, just all the little things, the tangibles really. And I think Puka Nacua is learning a lot from Cooper Kupp, watching him, playing with him. He's got the best teacher, and he's younger and he's a better athlete. Than Cooper Kupp. And you know, Cooper Kupp, he came into the league, he was what, 25. I just think, it's all the pieces are there for Nacua to continue to thrive. And Kupp, you know, he's been injury plagued. I think maybe the wear on the tires is starting to show for Cooper Kupp, and Nacua, I mean, can slide right in there as far as production goes.
Next up, we start. I mean, it's so far, so now, like the same 7 guys that we just talked about: Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, Neighbors, Smith and Jigba, Amon-Ra, Puka. We're pretty much in line that those are the top 7 guys in Dynasty. But this next group of guys is where it kind of hits the fan. You have Brian Thomas as the next player in Dynasty, 23 years old this year, of course, in Jacksonville, attached to Trevor Lawrence, looking to get a new coach. We've heard Ben Johnson actually be tabbed a little bit to Jacksonville. We'll see what happens there. After Brian Thomas Jr., you go to A.J. Brown. For me, after Puka Nacua, I go to Marvin Harrison Jr. and then Nico Collins. So 4 different names for 2 spots. Brian Thomas, I'm considerably lower on. I don't know if that's partially personally because the weird thing is I saw him in person, and like I know how dynamic he is, but I still – struggle with the development as an overall wide receiver, as a route runner, because there's really not a – I don't think there's a lot there. I think there's
– I mean, the proof is in the pudding with this guy. I mean, he's been matchup proof.
Statistically, I agree. And that's the thing is, like, we saw this, and I don't want to – I guess I'm going to do it because it's not that bad of a comparison, but we saw this in year one with Christian Watson. Christian Watson didn't do this. He went 607 or 8 touchdowns. Brian Thomas went nuclear the whole season, stayed healthy the whole season. So we should be looking at it differently than the Christian Watson thing. But
well, they're different types of receivers.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like they're longer, faster, lankier. Not
Christian Kirk is not.
No, old. Watson. Christian Watson. In Green Bay, and lankier, quicker, non-developed overall wide receiver talents. And the difference is that Brian Thomas stays healthy. And I think he's even a bit more dynamic, quite a bit more dynamic. So I get having him here. I still got him as a top 36 overall player. Why Brian Thomas ahead of all these other guys like T. Higgins, for example, or Drake London or Garrett Wilson? Why ahead of A.J. Brown?
I mean, it's kind of like the Malik Nabers thing. It's just like their offense was kind of a dumpster fire all season. But you could just set him and forget him. And players like that, I don't take for granted in fantasy, especially when they're young, especially when they do still have room to grow. I mean, I don't think we've seen the best Brian Thomas yet. And we've already seen a really good one. And I think, you know, it says something when you have all this. We have this whole – we didn't know at the beginning of the season how this receiving corps was going to shake out. And Thomas just rose to the top every game. And so that – all those things say a lot for me. And as far as depending on a receiver for the future in fantasy.
All right. I think that's fair. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the Jacksonville thing that I just like, feel like I should attach myself more to. I guess Arizona really hasn't proven to be much.
I mean, in Harrison to me, I mean, like, and you know, y'all gave me such flack, or at least Alex did, you know, when I went to the joint practices with the Colts and the Cardinals, and I said, I didn't even really see Harrison do anything. And Alex was like, well, that's the whole reason that, and I'm just like, dude, I'm just saying. And it kind of shook out that way throughout the season. We had games where Marvin Harrison produced, sure, but we had games where he completely disappeared too. And so to me, he's just not in the same ballpark with the Tommies. He's got the pedigree. If you take away the pedigree, if you take away Harrison's last name and we just go by what he did this season, it's just, to me, there's not really a comparison.
Two games on the entire season with six or more receptions. He had six receptions week two and six receptions in week 10. Never went over that. He was targeted 11 times against Detroit, caught five balls, eight times against the Rams, caught four, did have 130 yards and two touchdowns, but they went away from him. I think most of that came in the first half in that game. I think the thing with Marv is that I do think he's a really good receiver. I think that him being next to Nico and Drake London in the rankings, I think it's proper because they're stylistically similar. And I do think when you look at Marv from like a target perspective in this offense with Michael Wilson, and I just think that the way this thing's going to go, he's going to be potentially a 1,000-yard guy or around 1,000 yards every single season. Of course, he didn't quite hit that this year, 885 receiving yards and eight touchdowns, which honestly, if I told you that, right, like if I told you that without you, how should I word this? I told you 885 yards and you didn't track the stats, but you watched him all year, it would surprise you that he had that much because it seemed like he was kind of a ghost the majority of weeks.
I mean, but the thing is this, like, I mean, if you had to plug somebody into your lineup, we were still playing, you know, fantasy right now between Thomas and Harrison, and you're like, I need 12 points out of this guy this week. You're gonna choose Thomas. And Harris, I don't think that receiving room is gonna get worse. I don't think there's gonna be less competition for targets moving forward for Harrison. We've seen Thomas with other competition for targets in that offense. It's one of those things, until I see it with Harrison and see it consistently, I just don't, I mean, the sheen has worn off for me for Harrison.
All right. So Brian Thomas is our consensus number 8 at Roster Watch. Number 9 consensus is Nico Collins. Nico Collins, you have at 30th overall. I have 22nd overall. So he, for me, was right after Marvin Harrison as my number 9. For you, Nico's a little bit further down. Past Drake London, Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown, and T. Higgins. You're fading out on Nico. I mean, there's no Stephon Diggs there next year. Tank Dizzy's been hurt again. And has Nico hasn't done enough for you to vault ahead of Drake or Garrett situations?
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely consider moving Collins up. It was more of neglect than actual and the other players standing out to me more, I guess, than, because Nico Collins, he does it kind of silently, you know, he doesn't really say much. He's very quiet. You know, he speaks softly and carries a big stick. And no, but I like Collins and I like him in the offense. I think there are some other good receivers on that offense who just, you know, maybe haven't gotten the opportunity to thrive there yet. We're talking about John Metchie. I think Xavier Hutchinson's pretty good too. But I do, I could be argued to move up Collins on this list for sure. It's not, I don't need to mince words on that.
All right. Well, I think that's the tier for our rankings, at least, that, you know, there's a drop off past Puka Nacua in the overall rankings. I know for you it's back-to-back Puka and Brian Thomas, but in the overall rankings, our consensus, Thomas is 8, Nico is 9, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is 10. No, wait, did I count that right? 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, 10. The next group, we're rather close on. I think we shift overall where these guys are, but Drake London, so here's basically 10 through 15. Drake London, Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown, Ladd McConkey, and T. Higgins. Your two highest players in this grouping are A.J. Brown and the soon-to-be free agent T. Higgins. My two highest guys in this group are Drake London and Garrett Wilson. And as I read that off, Trash Man, my first thought goes to, I feel like I'm maybe a little bit high on Garrett Wilson, and I move Garrett Wilson down. I feel like I'm a little bit high on Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't know what the situation's going to be next season for him. I mean, I think Garrett Wilson is a better talent than Drake London, to be honest. Drake London to me is a little bit like Marvin Harrison. You know, I think we're still kind of relying on what they did in college, but they're not alpha receivers. They're not guys who I think like take over games and just, you know, smell blood in the water. I think they're kind of more reliant on how their quarterback's doing any given week. And I mean, I think that Drake's quarterback situation is improving and will improve over the course of the next season. But I think Garrett Wilson is a better talent. I mean, like we were talking about Garrett Wilson coming into the league, you know, kind of a rare receiver talent. And somebody who we thought was better than Chris Olave, who we thought was pretty amazing. So yeah, but for me, T. Higgins, I mean, I think I'm just, you know, just kind of taking I'm bullish on T. Higgins. I'm kind of taking I'm being a trash man on this, and I want to see him with his own toys.
Let me ask you one question. I got to get to this question in the chat and then we'll finish it up here. But I'm looking at the odds right now from BetMGM that came out. They were updated 5 days ago, so January 10th. These are the odds for T. Higgins' next team. Cincinnati Bengals -150, which is a 60% chance. The Commanders +1,200. The Chargers +1,250. And the Patriots +1,250 are the four favorites. Obviously, Cincinnati is the clear favorite for some reason. I didn't expect that. But the Commanders, Chargers, Patriots, which one of those spots? Commanders, Chargers, Patriots. Funny enough, Chargers on that list with Ladd McConkey. Which one of those three spots would kind of help him the most in your rankings?
Oh, yeah, let's put him on the Chargers, see how he fares against Ladd. One-on-one. I mean, you know, it's hard. I mean, like, it's hard to bet against the Commanders right now. I mean,
God.
That would be as a Cowboys fan, I just, like, it just makes me sick to my stomach. Because that guy's something else, and it feel like, can he get better? And I mean, like, there's room to get better. And Terry McLaurin is really his only, you know, consistent receiving option. I mean, Jeremy Brown this last game, you know, we saw what he can do. But then again, I think you put anybody in there with Daniels and there's a possibility that they're going to thrive on any given week. So when you have a quarterback like that, it's hard to not want a player like Higgins at his disposal.
I would be scared.
Yeah.
If I was the NFL to give Washington Higgins with Terry McLaurin, with Jade, it would, I'm out on that. I want to see it, but from a opponent standpoint, I mean, that's got to vault them to the top. Dan Culpa has been waiting for a minute here. He says, Dynasty 1 QB PPR, I got offered Pickens for McMillan. I already have a bunch of good wide receiver twos on my team. Some things to add. McMillan worries me because Godwin could resign. McMillan did much better without Godwin. I like how Pickens is a free agent in 26. The Steelers offense worries me. Trashman, the rankings we have are we're both pretty much in lockstep as far as where what tier these guys are in. Pickens is a clear 40, 50 spots ahead of McMillan. Pickens is 24. McMillan's 24. The age is very similar. I like McMillan, and Pickens is a menace of a human. And just like every other receiver that's went through Pittsburgh, whether it was, you know, Martavis or Antonio or now Deontay Johnson on four different teams, but would you make that move or would you just hold on to Pickens? Or wait, he's got McMillan. So wait, he's getting Pickens.
I don't think missing out on McMillan potentially outweighs the benefit of having Pickens, you know, at full strength in a good offense.
I think that's fair.
Potentially.
I think that's fair. All right. There's the rankings. Top 12 dynasty rankings. You can check them out at rosterwatch.com. Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, Neighbors, all the way down to the McConkey versus T. Higgins conversation at wide receiver 14 and 15. He's the Trash Man. I'm Cody Carpentier. We appreciate you, as always, for being here at RosterWatch.com. Stay locked in. Stay tuned in. We got a big, 3 months here as we approach the NFL Draft 2025 style. Go get all your wide receiver write-ups over at RosterWatch.com. We appreciate you. We love you. And we'll see you next time.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.